You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Let's ride.
For the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium, take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What is going on, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to a W episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. Your Los Angeles Dodgers are 14-11 early on in the 2024 campaign. We are brought to you by Tick Pick and Fansided. And even though the Dodgers did win today 4-1, it got a little scary there in the ninth inning with Evan Phillips, but thankfully he closed it out. Even though the Dodgers won today, they haven't really been playing their best baseball, if I'm being quite frank. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games, and they have lost three consecutive series, so they really need to get this one against a bad Nationals team. I'm really excited to be joined by Tim Rogers once again of Dodgers 2080. He has great podcast and Dodgers content out there. He gets you firsthand look of the Dodgers minor leaguers too, especially out in Rancho. Tim, thank you so much for coming on once again.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Jake, for having me on. Really, I love being on this podcast. You guys are, I love what you guys do have been doing for a long time.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Thank you. I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani, but before we even do that, I'm going to let Jake Reiner lead it off today. Jake, what's on your mind? What do you want to kick off the show with?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the tone of which you started, Kevin, which is, great win today. Saw some great things from the bottom of the order, which we'll get into. Finally, the bottom of the order wakes up and provides and kind of carries this offense, and then topped off by the Shohei Ohtani insurance run. But I almost had some, you know, flashback nightmares of when, you know, Matt Stairs crushed a game-winning home run off of us, and Matt Carpenter and Matt Adams in that Jesse Winker at bat in the ninth inning with Evan Phillips. That last pitch that Evan threw to him, oh my God, what a hanging breaking ball that was. And if Winker is, you know, uppercuts it a little bit more, or he just got under it or whatever, but damn, this could have been changed the entire tone of this podcast today if that had left the building for a grand slam walk-off. So I'm glad that Evan Phillips was able to get out of that. And also, thank you to the Nationals. That was some horrendous base running or some horrendous third base coaching, whichever it was, probably a combination of the two. But they ran themselves out of that big inning that they were building. So thank you for that. Glad that we got a win, two wins in a row. It's got to feel like some nice momentum now.
Hopefully, two wins in a row should be the floor. They need to be winning a bunch of games in a row, and hopefully they get started sooner rather than later. I've always found the Dodgers to be slow starters in the month of April, so not surprised to see them kind of hovering around 500 early on this season. The bullpen has been really shaky, and it would have been a real bummer if finally they pieced together a really nice outing overall, and then Evan Phillips were to blow it in the ninth inning. Thankfully, that did not happen. James Paxton really worked today. The only knock I have against Paxton is he needs to go more than 4 2/3 innings, especially with how much the Dodgers bullpen is working these days. He just continues to battle with command as he's walking a lot of base runners on base, and he doesn't really have the strikeouts that I'd like to see either. But overall, I mean, his ERA, I believe, is like 2.61, and I can't complain as a number five starter for the Dodgers.
Yeah, definitely needs to go deeper into these games. I feel like the bullpen is so taxed these days. I guess the good news is that they had a day off in between, so the bullpen was rested. But yeah, not liking what I'm seeing from this bullpen right now. I think that they are honestly underperforming. I don't think it's necessarily the personnel. I just feel like the personnel that they do have is just not performing at a level that they need to be. And in fact, you know, we've ragged on Alex Vesia a lot, but that guy has come in and actually done a good job lately. So he's actually been one of the most consistent guys in that bullpen with all the injuries that they have. Same with Evan Phillips and Daniel Hudson. I feel like those three guys are really the only guys in the bullpen right now that we can kind of trust. The rest, Brazier and Joe Kelly, Michael Grove. I mean, even though Michael Grove has strung together a couple of good outings, I don't trust any of those guys right now. So I feel like those guys need to step it up while we wait for guys like Trinan and Grotterall to come back. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, well, the good news is Trinan is starting a rehab at OKC, and they say he needs at least 3 or 4 outings. It'd be great to have old Blake back. I mean, geez, the video game type command and all that type of stuff is awesome. Bruce Dar will hopefully be following sooner after that. When I was at the game last week, Doc said that that Bruce Dar comes after Trinan, but we need them both. I am pleased, you know, you mentioned Michael Grove, friend of my show, that's for sure. Known him since 2019. Man, I'm already freaking out, losing my brain. But
yeah, I was gonna say I didn't know Michael Grove was that old.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's a baby. But yeah, he's been doing a lot better, and Doc's putting him in some situations that are a little more, you know, kind of moving up that trust tree, like the announcers were talking about. And yeah, Vesia, like it was said in the comments, you got to give Vesia his flowers. He's been better. But still, overall, you know, Brazier, Doc gave him a chance the other day, and he gave up, you know, home run to kind of, you know, help lose the game on Saturday. Joe Kelly's been, even though, come on, we all love Joe Kelly, but he's been really inconsistent, and I think he's been used a little too much. I think it's time for him to take his annual trip to the injured list, recover a bit, do a nice rehab assignment at Rancho that I can cover, of course, and then come back for August and September.
Ryan Brazier has really regressed, and I'm very thankful the Dodgers didn't pay him $9 million annually. Instead, it's $9 million, I think, across 2 years. This is what I really warned about Ryan Brazier. I knew that relievers were super volatile, and we saw this with Yency Almonte a year ago, where he had a 1 ERA in 2022 and then had an ERA over 5 in 2023. So fortunately, the Dodgers were very cautious. They didn't overpay for Ryan Brazier, but so far he's been a weak link in the bullpen. And it just, my God, I think I was at the game on Saturday and he served up a fat 3-run meatball to Starling Marte, which took the life out of Dodger Stadium. It's just been a downward spiral with Brazier right now. Fortunately, there's still a lot of time left in the season for him to recover, but I feel like he hasn't really had that dominant cutter that he was showcasing last year with the Dodgers.
Yeah, and he had a bad first half last season with the Red Sox, and from what, yes, I remember, and then came over to the Dodgers in the second half and figured it out. I am not ready to take my L on Brazier, even though I was the one that was pounding my fist on the table to sign him. I will take my L if this continues throughout the season. But like Kevin said, I mean, there's a lot of life left in this season. We need him. He's one of the workhorses out of this bullpen. He needs to be a guy that we can rely on. And we did rely on him last year. So hopefully he can figure it out. Same with Joe Kelly. He needs to figure it out. I can't remember the last time he pitched a clean inning. So it's time to lock it in that bullpen.
Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We'll get to what Roy Estrada is requesting. This game was kind of boring until Shohei Ohtani pummeled a baseball for 450 feet, second deck, nearly 119 miles per hour exit velocity off the bat. I don't recall a single Dodgers hitter hitting a ball ever that hard. I mean, that's just insane. This guy is absolutely surging right now, and I believe he has the best batting average in Major League Baseball. He's hitting 364, casually has a 430 on base, 1100 OPS, 6 home runs, 14 RBIs, and 5 stolen bases. Needless to say, I am super happy and impressed with Ohtani right now.
Yeah, what do you think, Tim?
Yeah, so Fabian Ardaya did report that it was the hardest hit ball, period, by a Dodger by nearly 3 miles per hour.
Shit.
Puig hit one at 116 miles per hour in 2017. So, Shohei Ohtani. Good Lord.
he literally broke Eric Karros.
Yeah, he did break Eric Karros.
My wife and I were both watching it together, and she's like, huh? What the heck? And we're just going, my gosh.
Eric Karros looked like the guy trying to go up to his crush at the prom and just can't figure out what to say. I mean, he was stammering all over the place. He started talking about the uniforms. I mean, yeah, I agree with Kevin. It did break Eric Karros. It was quite hilarious to watch. But Shohei Ohtani, I mean, this dude, he punishes baseballs. I mean, he really hurts them. It's unbelievable the amount of power he has. And just the last two home runs he's hit, I mean, no doubt about it, hits the blast, stares at it. The fielders don't even move. They pointed that out on the broadcast. These guys aren't even moving because what's the point? The ball is, you know, in the, you know, upper deck. So I am super impressed with what Ohtani's been doing. He's starting to hit a little bit better with runners in scoring position. Still not at the level that we kind of expect, but you know, it is, he has gotten a few more hits than he did, you know, at the very beginning of the season. So you got to be encouraged by that. And with the way that the bottom of the order, like I mentioned, kind of carried this offense today, it was nice to kind of have one of the leaders of the team give us one extra insurance run. And it almost was, you know, the difference in the game, depending on how that ninth inning shook out. So really, really important insurance run.
Well, and shout out, was it the seventh spot in the order where both James Outman and Kike Hernandez had an RBI?
Yep.
Really good. James ripped the heck out of that ball. I don't know. I didn't check the velocity on that one, but that's a good to see. You know, he's been struggling and he's, you know, now he's being platooned. It's pretty regular now. So I think we need James Outman, you know, just to have that, you know, 7, 8, 9 get going. Miggy Rowe. Guy keeps doing it, man. What, 2 hits again today?
I'm loving what I'm seeing from Miggy Rowe. And we'll get into this because I have a topic that I want to talk about regarding Mookie Betts at shortstop. But just having him defensively in there, I just feel so much safer, so much less anxiety watching this Dodgers defense with Miguel Rojas at shortstop. And if he's swinging the bat the way he has, and he has really been swinging the bat well this season, I would like to see him get as many opportunities as possible out there. Now, it does get tricky with the rest of the defensive alignment, but I mean, you can't keep a guy like that out of the lineup, I don't think.
And I see Doom underscore Sal dropping his name in the chat. Andy Páez working a 13 pitch at bat today was also really impressive. He's starting to look more and more poised out there up at the plate. He belted his first home run for a 3-run blast the other night. And even though he didn't really have a big game today, you can just tell he's hacking less at pitches out of the zone. He's looking more comfortable in the batter's box. And I love that the Dodgers are giving him a long runway. With Jason Hayward out for the foreseeable future, they aren't calling up some washed veteran to, you know, platoon with whoever, like Outman out there. Instead, they're relying on the young 23-year-old Cuban native Andy Páez, and It's just patience right now. He was really struggling. I think there was one point where he had like 6 strikeouts and an 8 at-bat sample size. But since then, he's looked a lot better. He's breaking through for some base hits. And he's certainly outperforming Chris Taylor.
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty low bar to outperform Chris Taylor. He's got like 1 hit this year, 2 hits. So I'm also liking what I'm seeing from Páez, especially coming off the game where he hit his first major league home run. He had a double and a home run in that inning. So 2 extra base hits in 1 inning.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. Also the arm too. Yeah. That play in the 9th inning where the Nationals kind of had, you know, I don't know, they forgot how to run the bases. It was his throw that went through to third base at Max Muncy that caught the runner in between third and home. So he's got a great arm out there as well. You've defensively, you've got Teoscar Hernandez in left, James Altman or Kike in center, and Páez in right. Defensively, that's a really good outfield.
Mm-hmm. It is. And with Páez, you know, to go to my vernacular, you know, he's got 70 grade power and a 70 grade arm. I mean, and he's also has improved his speed. I saw that his sprint speed now is 28.1 feet per second, which is probably faster right now than Mookie Betts. So, you know, the dude lost a lot of weight between 22 and 23. Seemed to really get his batting eye in order last year before he got hurt. And we're seeing it. I mean, I was only concerned about all the time off. I was surprised he was brought up so early, but very thankful that he was. Yeah.
Unlike the Dodgers to do that.
I know. Well, you know, they've done it sometimes in like Cody Bellinger back in the day. They were supposed to be just for a bit, but he never went back. And hopefully it's the same thing here. Hopefully he can earn that type of run, keep that run going. Hayward's going to be out still a bit longer. He still hasn't even started anything yet. And I'm kind of okay with that. I don't wish injuries on anybody, but Phantom IL lives.
I am just pleading to the baseball gods that Páez can be the next successful, you know, big Dodgers position player prospect since Will Smith. Because honestly, I feel like there hasn't been anyone in that. We're going back to 2019. Since anyone that's a big name prospect that's really panned out, Vargas has been.
Oh, Altman. Really,
he wasn't. I don't count him as a big name prospect though. Altman was more like a Andre Ethier kind of like under the radar. I'm talking about like the top prospects like Miguel Vargas, Diego Cartaya, Michael Bush in his short tenure with the Dodgers, Gavin Lux. The list goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm hoping big things from Andy Páez, seeing really good, mature things, like you're saying, about that 13-pitch at-bat, even though he popped up. It was a really, really good battle by him. And the Dodgers need that at the bottom of the order. I mean, they need these guys to get on base because that's what happens. Like that's how they scored about 10 runs in the previous game. The bottom of the order was getting on base, and then the top of the order was driving them in. And in Pahez's case, he was driving himself in. So it's amazing what happens when the bottom of the order becomes a factor and not just an automatic out. And to that point, I loved what I saw from Kike Hernandez tonight. And I thought in the, I forget which inning it was, but the inning he got his RBI single, I thought that Dave Roberts was going to pinch hit for him at that point and put it in Outman to bat against the right-handed reliever. But I love that Dave stuck with Kike in that spot and he delivered, because guess what? We need Kike Hernandez to be confident. We need him to come through, especially like Kevin mentioned, with the way Chris Taylor has been playing or not playing. You know, he needs to be a guy that isn't just a guy that steps up in October and in the postseason, but in the regular season comes up clutch too. And he continues to do that. So I was really happy that they stuck with him in that spot. And then later on, I mean, Outman made Dave Roberts look like an absolute genius when he pinch hit Outman for Hernandez, because at the time I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Kike was the one who got the hit last time. Why aren't we staying with him? Then he puts in Outman and, you know, you can't argue with what Outman did up there, which was another, you know, RBI hit.
Like Nomar says, you know, you get a base hit, El Bencho.
Right, El Bencho. Right.
Yeah, it's the way it is with the Dodgers. And yeah, I was same way. I was feeling exactly the same thing. About, come on, leave Kike in there. But, you know, Outman came in. It was, gosh, it's so important for both those guys to get rolling. I mean,
yeah,
they will, that'll help change the whole, the bottom of the order. And it'll get infectious too. That's the good thing about that. One guy gets hot, the rest of the guys hopefully will do better too.
Yeah. Yeah, James Outman, I feel like he's been swinging the bat better. He's just hitting into a lot of bad luck and finally something went his way. And like Jake mentioned about Kike Hernandez, this is the veteran that we need to step up, and he's going to get more and more at bats, especially with just how useless Chris Taylor's been. Jason Hayward on the injured list. Kike and Miguel Rojas are the two veterans right now off the bench that are earning themselves more and more playing time, and they deserve it.
Absolutely.
So more on just some of the Dodgers hot hitters right now. We talked about Shohei Ohtani, but just how good he's been over the last seven games. He's batting .440, last 15, .421. So he's on base with his walks more than half the time. And it looks like Freddie Freeman is starting to turn the corner as well. And even though Freddie Freeman is off to what's considered a slow Freddie Freeman start, he's still batting .300 and has an on base in the low 400s. The only thing that's kind of surprising is that him and Will Smith, who are both crushing the ball in terms of on base and batting average wise, I believe they both only have one home run each individually.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's missing is the power, especially from Will Smith. You expect a little bit more power from him. Freddie Freeman last year, I remember, got off to a slow start in the power department. But yeah, you're mentioning those numbers for Freddie Freeman. I'm sure anybody across the league that's hitting under 300 would love to have those numbers. And if anybody else across the league was hitting like that, they would say, oh my God, you know, Chris Taylor, he's off to, imagine if Chris Taylor had those numbers, like, you know, we'd be having a different conversation. So
we have a parade.
It's great. It's great to see Freddie Freeman kind of turning it around. I mean, I was never worried. Whenever like Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, I'll even throw Will Smith and Max Muncy into that conversation. Whenever any of those guys go through rough stretches, I never panic. I never worry. I know that they're going to come back around because they're the best hitters on this team. So I was never worried about Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, the track record matters, you know, because when we see someone like, you know, Lux or Outman struggle, we go, well, you know, James was, you know, really inconsistent last year. You know, he had the great first month, two really bad months, got better, got worse, got better. And then we still haven't seen, you know, a full season of Lux with a combination of what we expect, which is, yeah, he's going to hit for some average, but he's also going to hit more than. So, yeah, just it's tough to trust those guys, but to trust the guys that you mentioned and Teoscar too. I mean, Teoscar's a proven major league hitter. Sometimes I forget about him. It's so weird, but you know, he came up today clutch and started their rally to get,
he scored two runs tonight.
Yeah. And he'd been looking terrible at the plate lately. You know, just that whole lost, you know, just automatic out, and all of a sudden, little things here and there. He drew a walk, which is, you know, not characteristic of him, but just good to see that he's coming back around. Maybe he's popping out of his slump already too.
I was trying to find the question for Tim. Let me just scroll real quick. But yeah, thank you guys for all tuning in. Here it is from MWG. Question for Tim. Uh-oh. Who do you trust the most in the bullpen not named Evan Phillips?
Lord. I'm tempted, I guess I'll go with Daniel Hudson. He's had a couple shaky things, but you know, he's good enough tonight. He's a vet. He doesn't get rattled. He gave up a home run a few days ago when he came in. But I got to go with Huddy for right now. But I like I said earlier, I cannot wait for Blake Treinen to come back. And if his shoulder's not healed by now, he might as well retire. But I got a good feeling about Blake Treinen.
I hope you're right, because I'm also waiting on Brustar Graterol. Yeah. After the year he had last year, a career year, I was really looking forward to seeing him capitalize on that this year. So we're really missing those guys, because that was the whole plan against left-handed hitters, was to have these guys that could get lefties out. And Alex Vesia is literally the only high-leverage lefty, whether you want to call him high-leverage or not. He's the only lefty that is coming into these spots, because the other lefty, Ryan Yarbrough, is used as a long man slash spot starter. So Vesia has had a lot of workload. And I know we had a day off yesterday, but I saw Vesia come out of the bullpen, and I was thinking to myself, does this guy pitch every game? Like, it seems like he's always in the ball game, and he's actually pitched pretty well. He has an ERA well under 3. So he's been great, but yeah, it's going to be really, really great to see those other guys come back.
Blake Treinen is rehabbing. I think he's down in Oklahoma City officially. Dodger Gal saying he had a bad night tonight, but I haven't actually looked it up.
I'm checking.
I've been fooled by the chat before.
3 earned runs on 3 hits. That's not good.
Okay. Well, he's rusty. There's still time. Moose, 1032. Thank you so much for the super chat. I love the question. Do you guys think we see River Ryan? And if so, when? And is he going to be used in the pen?
I'm going to say yes and yes at some point this year, because this is a long season and the Dodgers have shown that they like to dip into their farm system when it comes to pitching.
Yeah, is River Ryan? Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, he's what my understanding, he is playing. They're slow playing him, just like they did Bobby Miller last year. Bobby did have tenderness in his shoulder. He literally told me that. But you know, they're just taking it easy with him last year. I think hopefully the same. They're saying it's the same thing with Ryan. They're just going to take it easy, have him ready right now. You know, Gavin Stone off and on. He had a wonderful start against the Padres. Had a real start against the Mets with that strike throwing thing. Just wasn't there. But I think they're going, hey, we got enough guys to get us through now, but we have to have enough spread out over the 40 plus man roster to make it through the season, along with the, you know, of course, trading for Tanner Scott, right? That's going to happen. Has to. and probably something else. I mean, like I've said 100 times over the last few weeks, you can never have enough pitching.
Yeah.
Kyle Hurt, I didn't, you know, literally spoke to him also on Wednesday. Didn't hear a word from him about his shoulder, and they retroactively put him on the DL or IL, whatever it is, back from Wednesday. So I'm a little nervous about that. I think he's going to be a really big part of the bullpen during the season.
For River Ryan, I honestly think the Dodgers are going to try to build him into a starter, and that could be his role for a majority of this season. The injuries are just going to happen. It's inevitable. And I'm a little disappointed with Gavin Stone. He's been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde out there. Like, one start, he'll look really good and like he belongs in the majors. And then the next start, he'll go out there. I think I was, on Saturday, he just kept walking hitters and he didn't look good. So I don't know what Gavin Stone's future is with the Dodgers. I still think he's young, obviously, and he can become a really established starter down the road. But there is a lot of pressure on the Dodgers right now, and I do want to see what River Ryan looks like. Maybe he's another Bobby Miller, like who you alluded to a couple minutes ago, a guy with that attitude and is ready to just dominate as a rookie. From everything I've heard, right, Tim, he throws high 90s and has a good slider. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also, I mean, as you guys probably know, you know, he's a converted shortstop, just started pitching in 22 full time. And so some of that's a buildup that's going on. He is a very confident young man. really confident. Just when he was at Rancho, just came in with a lot of extra good confidence. I like the confidence. Just confident in his abilities. He was also confident. It's like, you know, I'd go out there and play shortstop right now too. Because he did, you know, the year before he was a shortstop with the Padres. And can I just say again, for the millionth time, AJ Preller, my favorite general manager, thank you so much for River Ryan. We really appreciate it. Oh, keep up the good work, AJ. Never fire that man.
I honestly forgot. Yeah, Matt Beatty for River Ryan. AJ Preller. The Nationals look pretty good with CJ Abrams right now. He's pretty good.
He kills us. I know. Shit.
Yeah.
He's definitely. Big. Yeah. Not even the only guy who's coming up. Michael Carrillo, I asked this to another pod lately, but do you have anxiety about the pen average age of 36? Well, we've talked about it before. This bullpen is pretty old right now, which makes them kind of susceptible to injuries and regression. I think that this is just how they're going to start the season with, and with time, they're going to incorporate some of the younger guys, and they'll make moves at the deadline. But for now, just let it ride.
Yeah, I don't think the average age of the bullpen is of much concern, just about effectiveness. I still think these guys are, you know, throwing just as hard. We haven't seen any kind of regression in terms of velocity. But, you know, with guys like Joe Kelly, they just don't have he doesn't have any command. He doesn't know where the ball's going. And he's just walking hitters, and that's just the cardinal sin when you come out of the bullpen. You can't put runners on, especially these high leverage guys, because they're coming in these tight one run two run ball games. So I think it's just a control thing, and unfortunately too many of them have this issue, whether it is control problems, not, you know, keeping guys off base in terms of walks, but then also leaving pitches right over the heart of the plate like Brazier is doing. So it's either one or the other with some of these guys.
Tim, yeah, from Doom _ Sal, who would you like to see more, I guess? River Ryan or, I might butcher this, Robleski?
Yeah, Justin Robleski. He's a lefty. I want to see Ryan first because I want him to be healthy, because if he's healthy, he will be up first. However, Robleski got some good stuff. He was a guy that had Tommy John. Both him and Ryan were in the 2021 draft. That's turning out to be one heck of a draft. Rest in peace to Nick Nastrini's career, but he debuted already for the White Sox. But we got Lance Lynn. So Robleski is a guy that he's in Double A now. I would not be surprised to see him in Triple A soon. He's probably 24. He's a college guy, so really good stuff. And don't be surprised if we see them both. I know it'd probably take a little bit of bad luck to see someone like Robleski, but it's good to actually see some lefties coming up finally. And he's the one up top. He's the one up that would come first.
Can't even remember the last time we've had a good young lefty in the rotation.
At least one that didn't beat up his.
It's been a while.
Hey, I've got over $1,000 worth of Julio Urias jerseys in my closet if anyone wants to buy any.
Jake, let's get to your subject. It's shortstop time.
Okay, so admittedly, this is not a topic that I came up with on my own, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion on it, and I thought it was an interesting topic we could talk about because there's a bunch of different ways you could do this. So I was listening to Dodger Talk last night with David Vasse, and he was kind of hyping up this question, like, why isn't nobody asking this question? Everyone's talking about the bad bottom of the order or the bad bullpen or Gavin Lux's struggles, but nobody's asking this question. And his question was, why is Mookie Betts playing shortstop? And his argument is that Mookie Betts should not be playing shortstop, that it's too much of a tax to put on one of your best hitters, if not your best hitter. And also the fact that he's taking a bunch of ground balls, you know, before games, possibly tiring him out. He's worried that there's going to be some sort of catastrophic injury and that this whole experiment's going to blow up in the Dodgers' faces. And so his suggestion is to move Mookie Betts back to right field and get him out of the infield. But he also said that one of the guys the Dodgers are missing is Jason Hayward, which I didn't really follow that logic. But basically, what do you do, right? If you move Mookie Betts back to right field, then what happens to Jason Hayward? And in the immediate, what happens to Andy Páez? Because you're not going to take Teoscar Hernandez out of left field. And then that just reduces everybody else's at-bats. And I think, like Kevin was saying, the Dodgers are trying to give Páez the longest runway of them all because he's such a young guy. You don't want to put that guy on the bench, and you certainly don't want to send him back down to AAA. We haven't seen him up here long enough. So I just feel like there's too many factors at play to move Mookie Betts out of the infield. Now, one thing that they could do is just move him to second base and have Miguel Rojas kind of take over at shortstop for the time being. But then that also kind of gets you away from Gavin Lux, which they said they wanted him to have 150 at-bats or whatever it is before they reevaluate what the deal is with him and his recovery from his knee injury. So I just throw a lot of things at you, but I'm curious kind of what your thoughts are on this, because there's a bunch of different ways to go, and it seems like the way that the Dodgers have it right now is kind of the best offensive strategy maybe, but definitely not the best defensive strategy.
Yeah, I guess I'll start. I look at it this way. First of all, Mookie loves playing in the infield, and I think he stays in the infield. But I kind of agree with Mr. Vasse in terms of going, man, shortstop is going to wear him out. And you know, Vasse is more, he's there at the ballpark every day, and he knows how much these guys are working, and no one works harder than Mookie Betts. And he always has taken infield at shortstop, but he's taken a lot more there. But one of the things that I see is when Mookie's at second base, just say that he's at second and we have Teoscar. Teoscar can play left field or right field. He's not bad in right. He's not great, but he's good enough. He's a pretty good left fielder, relatively speaking. And then you have Mookie Betts, who could play shortstop or second base. And I'd prefer second. But I look at trade deadline comes along and you need another bat. You put Mookie back in right field, it's a lot easier to trade for a corner outfielder that's got some real pop than to go, oh, let's fill in at second base or shortstop. Willie Adames ain't coming, regretfully. I mean, the Brewers are going to contend. They're still in first place. I think they're going to continue in first place because that division sucks. So I'm looking at it just going, how do we maintain flexibility, but at the same time preserve Mookie? And I did, you know, and I also saw the same thing, Jake, about the 150 at bats for Lux. And I want to see that too, because, you know, I feel it makes me sick what happened to that young guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was just disgusting. You know, poor guy. So there's a lot to be there. I think the current platoon's not too bad. Give Mookie a break here and there. Let Gavin play. Gavin's actually played some good second base. I've been really happy with that.
He's actually been pretty solid there defensively.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything would have been cured, of course, if Lux could play short. And if he doesn't hit in those 150 at bats, you got to figure he's got to go down. And if he goes down, do they go and start him at short and then just go, we got Miggy Rowe and Mookie? I don't know. It's a tough one. I love the idea of Mookie Betts at short, because it's just kind of cool how cool that is. But at the end of the day, I agree about the wear and tear.
And it's also a bit of a somewhat of a liability too, because he's made some errors, you know, yeah. and that's not good either. Kevin, what do you think?
I was holding back my thoughts because I am very opinionated on this subject matter.
Mookie Betts at shortstop is just asinine. It's a cute little hold you over for a couple months, but this is not good for the longevity of the Los Angeles Dodgers. You already pointed out his defense. He's a negative impact defender at shortstop. It's absolute bullshit, in my opinion, that he worked all offseason long to be a second baseman, and then literally right before the season began, had to pivot over to shortstop, a position he wasn't training for. You look at his 2023 sample size, I think he was on pace for like a plus 15 defensive runs saved in the at the second base slot. And I believe one of his goals was to win the Gold Glove at second base, which, in my opinion, you look at Mookie Betts and Gavin Lux, I think at an equal weight can give you the same value at defense, but obviously one is Mookie Betts with the offense, and then you got Gavin Lux, who more on him in a second. I do think that there is still an opportunity that the Dodgers could trade for Willie Adames, even with the Brewers contending, and the Dodgers would just have to overpay, which, you know, is sick at the end of the day, but Adames still is a rental. The Brewers are always juggling things in their mind, like, how can we continue this path of competing while not paying big guys' salary? The Dodgers have plenty of prospects and pitchers. Diego Cartaya is just floating around. Maybe they make the sacrifice there. I think that the Dodgers, as great as it would be to find another corner outfielder, I don't think that's a position of need right now. To me, they need to find a shortstop, and maybe it's Miguel Rojas. If he continues at the pace he's going, maybe he just earns the job because he's batting 281. He's got two home runs. He's looked pretty good overall. But I also heard about the 150 at-bats. Right now, I believe Lux is around low 60s. Well, he's hitting 148. He's a 224 on base percentage, zero home runs, and two RBIs. You double that up or you triple that up, he's going to have to make a lot of work. He's going to have to make up a lot of ground to earn himself a spot into this lineup. And I hear the excuses like he's coming off a bad knee injury and all that. And I get it. That's definitely playing a factor in this. But even before the injury, it wasn't like he was hitting the lights out. I think his career high in home runs was six.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Gavin Lux, right? Is that it's not like he had some sort of like torrid tear onto the scene like a Corey Seager or like a Cody Bellinger winning Rookie of the Year, right? Where they just absolutely burst onto the scene and have this great offensive output, win an award, and then get injured, right? And now you're kind of waiting for them to come back because you know what the potential is, you know what they could do. Unfortunately for Gavin Lux, he's been so injury prone that he's not really had a full season under his belt. And the stretches that he has had, while there have been some really good hot stretches in there, overall has been just kind of mediocre as an offensive player. That's the problem. And so you couple that with a bad knee injury that he's recovering from. You add to that the pressure of needing to perform now while also not being 100% and being asked to do a position like shortstop, which we were all told it was his natural position. I don't know at what level, because from what we've seen at shortstop from him has been atrocious. He's kind of figured out at second base. So I don't really know what you do with him. I mean, I would like to see him get to 150 and see if he can, you know, play himself out of this sort of slump that he's in. But if not, I think I'm with Tim on this. I wouldn't mind seeing him go down to AAA and really have the rehab that he needs, because clearly he's not ready right now to take over the job every single day at second base. The offense just isn't there. And what the Dodgers need him to do, he's just not able to do, which is bat ninth and flip that lineup over so that Mookie, Ohtani, and Freeman can have a crack at it. So I think that's, he might be the sacrificial lamb if he continues to play this way. And I'm fine having Miguel Rojas at shortstop for the foreseeable future, maybe till the trade deadline if they figure something else out there, because that's what they did last year and it was fine. And they won well over 100 games with that formula. So I'm not against, I honestly think that if Miguel Rojas continues to hit, he should continue to play.
Tim, I want to ask you, because I imagine you've followed Gavin Lux's career trajectory up through when he was drafted through the minors. Why has it not just translated?
I think, you know, part of it, you know, he got off to a decent start in 2019. You know, he came in, got a hit. You know, remember he even had a home run in the playoffs in his first playoff at bat.
Yes.
And then COVID happened and it killed him. You know, he was just, he did nothing. 2021, you know, they say, okay, now Gavin, you're a second baseman and you're a left fielder. You're a center fielder. They even played him at third base, like a couple
of games.
At OKC.
Yeah, remember
all that stuff? That guy has been jerked around a lot, and not everybody can do what Kike Hernandez does. It takes a serious, strong mental, and even Chris Taylor. I know he's struggling now, but both Kike and Chris Taylor have been awesome over their careers, playing multiple positions, three positions in a game sometimes, sometimes four. They've done amazing things. Not everyone can do that. I think Lux, his swing is complex. His speed's also down. So if you go to the sprint, I haven't looked at recently, but last I checked, he was down with his sprint speed. So the speed's not there. There's not power.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't trust his legs yet.
Yeah. See, that I think you hit it on it right there. And so if your brain's not there, the body is not going to follow. And so everyone's different in the way they react to injuries. And I think he's reacting in a different way. And, you know, I hate to see it. I hate, you know, he was off to, I was excited about 2023 for him, at least to get the shot. Got the shot again this year, obviously blew that one right away at shortstop. The yips are there. That's a body confidence issue. It's a brain confidence issue. I've had the yips myself. My son's had them, haunted him as almost half his high school career. So it's real difficult. So there's a lot going on in Gavin's brain, and maybe eventually AAA, here we come. I don't know.
Yeah. That's the difference, and why you just have to kind of pay your respects to Chris Taylor for what he did for the Dodgers in the past, even though he might be at the very end of his career. Now in 2017, he didn't make the opening day roster because the Dodgers weren't quite sure yet if he could handle center field. And we know how that story turned out. Versus Gavin Lux, they gave him opportunities to play center field, to incorporate him in the lineup one way or another, and a wall nearly killed him.
No, I feel badly for Gavin Lux only because of the mental aspect. There's clearly something going on upstairs, like Tim alluded to. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that there's so much pressure to play for this team. I mean, the expectations are so high, and the Dodgers organization knows the struggles that they've had in October recently, where they get to October and literally no one remembers how to play and they can't score any runs and it's a disaster and they're out in the first round. The organization knows that. Gavin Lux knows that. He's on social media. He sees that. There's just not a lot of room for error, which is why you see guys like Michael Busch thriving, because there's no goddamn pressure on him to thrive. He's got a guaranteed spot on the roster. And so, yeah, of course, he's mashing for the Cubs because the Cubs don't have the expectations that the Dodgers do. So I think all of that are factors. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. And you got to have to kind of figure it out because the other guys on this team have. So that's just the thing. But the expectations might just be too high for him at this point.
We'll take you through the top of the hour. So chat, live chat, get your final questions in and we'll get through your questions. We always love what you guys ask us. It's good stuff. Noisy Ninja 91, that last subject was dedicated to you, so you're welcome. Got just a couple more quick subjects I want to cover, but before we get to that, this podcast is brought to you by TickPick, and the Lakers are in a pickle right now. So if you're trying to go to crypto.com arena and get no service fees at your checkout, I'm sure those tickets are deflating in value. So go watch the Lakers try to win a playoff game. The Dodgers are on the road right now. But if you're trying to go to that Atlanta Braves series, which is coming up early May, I think it's the first actual few days of May, get those tickets over at TickPick. Shohei Ohtani bobblehead's coming up as well. Can't remember the exact date, but get those tickets over on the TickPick app. So Kevin, fire up your question. Go ahead.
I have something to say because you mentioned the Lakers. I just have to kind of maybe draw a quick comparison here because I know you're a Lakers fan, and I don't know if you are, Tim, but watching the Lakers lose in the heartbreak fashion that they did last night with Jamal Murray just hitting a game-winning buzzer beater in Anthony Davis's face after the Lakers blew a 20-point lead in the second half, it just reminded me of just the feeling and the rage that I had when the Dodgers went down 2-0 to the Diamondbacks in the NLDS last year. And I'm just curious if you had that same feeling or if it was different given the fact that the Lakers, they're not expected to beat the Denver Nuggets, but they had that game. They had that game and they blew it. And how many times have we seen the Dodgers be in control of a game in the playoffs and just completely collapse like that? So I was just got a little PTSD there for a moment.
I guess it's an LA thing, like the 2020 slogan was supposed to be. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
I actually have a beer cooler that has it on it. It was at Rancho a couple years ago. It's like, oh, I must buy that. Hideous phrase.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. I'm more of an older Lakers fan. I'm still recovering from 1984. I'm still upset about that. I'm talking to someone at work today, even about that, believe it or not. So, what we've gone through the last 2 years, right? With 2022 and 2023, losing to far inferior teams. I don't care what the result of the playoffs was. They lost to teams that they should not have lost to. They blew games they couldn't, you know, the Tyler Anderson cruising 3-0 and we lose 5-3. Part of it, just really poor management decisions, but also guys not showing up. And so hopefully with I actually think that both Shohei, who's a, you know, you saw him in the WBC, awesome. And I think Teoscar Hernandez brings a little extra to the playoffs. He's actually had some success in the playoffs too. And they both hit the ball really hard. Unlike, you know, Freddie and Mookie, they can hit the ball hard, but they're not hitting, you know, the 420-foot shots. They're not the raw power guys. So I'm hopeful that those two guys are going to help pull us through, along with Andy Pahez somehow, man.
Okay, so coming up on the schedule, obviously the Dodgers still have two more games against the Nationals, and hopefully they can score some runs off Jake Irvin this time because he shut him out last time. That was ridiculous. It's a rematch. Landon Knack takes the ball. I don't know if anyone had some quick thoughts on Landon Knack. Overall, I think his debut was serviceable, so I'm happy with how he looked.
I mean, he settled down after the first inning.
Yeah.
Settled down. He only gave up one hit after that first inning. He was nervous. I know he actually talked about that a little bit in the post game. I saw him before the game. Who wouldn't be? So I'm expecting, hopefully, put it this way, if he goes five innings and gives up two runs with this team, he should get a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be cool to see him get another opportunity and finally be a big leaguer. Next up, Toronto Blue Jays. It's a Teoscar Hernandez homecoming, and the Dodgers get to face longtime Dodgers legend Justin Turner, who's hitting .314 for the Blue Jays. 412 on base, 912 OPS. Last year for the Red Sox, I believe he did really well against us. I think he had at least one home run and some extra base hits.
I remember that.
Yeah, he killed us. There you go. So I just wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk about anything Justin Turner related while this is probably the only time we're going to see him this year.
It just goes to show you that at age 39, he can still hit the ball. I mean, he's still a great hitter. And I thought that when he was at the end of his Dodgers career, I thought, okay, we're going to kind of see him ride off into the sunset. And, you know, he's going to a Red Sox team that's not really built to contend. And, you know, we're kind of going to see a little bit of what happened to, like, you know, Adrian Gonzalez when he went to the Mets, and, you know, or even Sean Green when he went to the Mets. Like, we just see these guys kind of ride off into the sunset. But Justin Turner has, and I don't know if he's made any adjustments or whatever it is, but he's continuing to hit well. Everything that jump-started his career in Los Angeles after he kind of didn't do well with the Orioles and the Mets when he got to LA, he figured it out and has been an incredible, legendary postseason hero type of hitter. And I just love seeing him thrive. I mean, he's one of my favorite players of this last decade or so. Captain of the team. He was the heart and soul of this team for a long time. And he is a World Series champion. So I couldn't be happier for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does against us this time.
Well said. I have nothing to add. I just dropped in the chat. If you want to talk Dodgers baseball, chat's popping off these days in our Discord feed. It's always fun. We talk Dodgers games as they go live. Sometimes it gets heated. Sometimes people are frustrated with the team, especially when they don't hit against Patrick Corbin, but they got the win. Dodger gal, Arizona and Atlanta are coming up. Do you think the Dodgers will bring their A game and be ready?
Yeah, I think they will be because they've, as Doc said it himself, they've been playing pedestrian baseball for the last couple, 3 weeks. It's time. I think they're going to start. They might really start winding into something and get if you get, you know, a few more hitters clicking, not just one or two, but, you know, Mookie carried them for a bit. Shohei's carrying them quite a bit now. But if you get a little bit more hitting here and there and just enough pitching, they're going to give them those will all be really exciting games. It's going to have probably a little bit of a playoff atmosphere in some ways. I mean, you know, Atlanta, they're already becoming kind of a rival. We see that from 2020 and 2021. And then Arizona, hey, no matter what happens, they only won 84 last year, but you saw what they just destroyed the Dodgers. Yeah. They embarrassed them.
Yeah, here's a crazy take. I'm more worried about the Arizona Diamondbacks right now in this upcoming series than the Atlanta Braves. It just seems like the D-backs offense is our kryptonite. They could just absolutely boat race us. I know Corbin Carroll is off to a slower start this season, but Christian Walker always kills the Dodgers. Gurriel's been on fire in the outfield. Moreno is a pretty solid catcher. They have a lot of dudes that are just stepping up on offense right now. Versus the Atlanta Braves are kind of hurting. I mean, Acuna and Olsen are there, but the pitching is in shambles. I don't know who we'll end up facing. Could be Max Fried, but he's kind of deteriorating. And then with Chris Sale, he's the type of pitcher on paper that we wouldn't really do well against, but you never know.
Here's my take. I don't really know what this Dodgers team is yet. I mean, we certainly know what they should be doing. And I think that we could all agree that they probably should have a better record than they do right now, given the talent that they faced, especially going through the Nationals. I think we're going to see a lot in these next two series, especially the rest of this National series, how it goes. The Dodgers lost the last series to the Nationals at home. So it'd be nice to pick up a series win and, in all honesty, a sweep of this team. They should sweep this team. I believe the Toronto Blue Jays will give them a little bit more competition. So they're kind of incrementally getting a little bit more difficult in competition as they get to Atlanta and Arizona. And hopefully by that time, they'll be ready to play those teams. But I think these next two series are kind of going to be an implication of what we can expect from these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It really is, you know, as we've seen it so many times, it's just they got a hit. We can have guys throw, you know, give up two runs in a whole game and get shut out against a mediocre pitcher like last week. And today was not going well against Corbin. I mean, yeah. Which was absolutely shocking. He's been so bad since 2019.
I mean, was it? Because we've seen a lot of like mediocre / horrible left-handed pitchers just mow the Dodgers down out of nowhere. So I don't know what that is. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, yes, we've struggled with left-handed pitching in the past a little bit, but for whatever reason, these guys just out of nowhere decide to shut us down. I think there wasn't there a rookie pitcher for the Nationals that did that recently?
There was.
You know,
but if it makes you feel better, I think he threw 7 scoreless in his next outing. Was it? I can't remember who they were playing. It might have been.
So he's actually a guy, but you know what I mean, like the Eric Lauers of the world.
Oh god, yeah.
You know, yes. Like what is that? I mean, I know the Dodgers actually beat Corbin last time. They got 5 runs off him. So
yeah, and if you look at the lineup now, you know, when they when they're matching up against a lefty, it's a pretty strong lineup, you know, because both and Teoscar and Andy Páez being part a big part of that type of thing. The handedness doesn't seem to bother Freeman or Mr. Otani much either. So you'd think they'd really start mashing them, but there's some it's a voodoo spell or something that's put on them by mediocre lefties. I don't get it. Yeah, Eric Lauer, the classic example. My gosh.
Yes. MWG, I'll quickly say I think the Dodgers go 6-3 on this road trip. So let's get to our final thoughts. The first thing is I was at the game Saturday and they lost. It sucked. But here is the Walker Buehler bobblehead. He's coming out. He's coming back soon for the Dodgers. Giveaway details to come. I think we'll open it up starting maybe next week. So more details to come. You want to subscribe so you can get firsthand looks on how to win that Walker Buehler bobblehead. It will be free, everyone. So let's do our final thoughts or any final subjects you wanted to quickly hit on. My final thoughts are that the Dodgers need to do better with runners in scoring position. I'm not impressed right now. They're hitting .254, which is 18th in Major League Baseball. Only a .335 on base, a .381 slugging, 70 strikeouts, which leads Major League Baseball. And with the bases loaded, they've sucked. They're 4-for-24, which is a .167 batting average, and they have 12 strikeouts over those 24 at bats.
Dang.
I'm with you on that, Kev.
Amazing. You know, well, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the bases are loaded for the Dodgers. It's like, now they're in real trouble. Not the other team. The Dodgers are the ones in trouble.
Yeah, they have us right where they want us.
Yeah. It does seem. I know other teams probably have issues too, but it just seems that the Dodgers are so good at screwing that up and not even putting the bat on the ball, get the bat on the ball.
Here's the thing. The Dodgers, again, are too reliant on the home run. It seems like the only time the Dodgers can score is if they hit homers. And tonight was actually a great example of how they can score without hitting home runs, even though Otani did hit one. The bottom of the order scraping together these two-out RBI clutch hits, that's what we need to see more of. But more importantly, not just with two outs. With a runner at third and less than two outs, we need to get that ball to the outfield. We can't have these, you know, strikeouts or pop-ups in those situations. I know I've been screaming about small ball, but like when it makes sense to, let's bunt some guys over, let's get some runs in. I know it's against the whole new way of playing baseball and money ball and all of that stuff, but it drives me crazy when we loaded the bases, I think like three times in the last series, and they didn't score on any of those tries. I mean, that's crazy to me. So that's the one thing that I'm worried about just now in the month of April, thinking about October, because you know that's going to matter, you know, with the Dodgers offense built to hit home runs. And then what happens when they don't hit them, you know, because that could happen very easily. And we've seen it. So I want to see more of a focus on moving runners over, small ball, stealing bases, all of those things. We got to become more of a contact team. We're striking out way too much. We're chasing way too much. I think we got to simplify with that approach. And I don't know what needs to change there, but like those are the results I want to see.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the strikeouts are very alarming. And also the number of walks our pitchers are giving up. Within a week, they had two games where they walked more than 10.
Yeah.
So that you can't, if you walk too many and you strike out too much, you're not going to win what you need to win. And when it comes to playoffs, the pitchers are better because the crappy team, you're not facing Colorado. You're facing the best of each team. And we've seen the Dodgers get shut down by that the last few years. And so, yeah, they got to find a way. I mean, there was a situation where they had no outs. I can't remember exactly the situation. I think first and second, no outs, Austin Barnes up, swinging away. Now, I love Austin Barnes, not as much as Klein, but I do love me some Austin Barnes. And but why isn't he laying a bunt down? And we know Austin Barnes can bunt.
Thank you.
We saw it in the World Series. He can bunt. We saw
it. I know, Tim. I don't know if you followed me at all during this whole thing, but I've been banging my fist on the table for him to be a bunter. If he's not going to be able to hit, which he's proven he can't really hit, let's lay some bunts down when it makes sense. Not every time.
Yeah, not every time, right.
I know exactly what play you're referring to. I think I tweeted right after that happened that the two biggest mistakes in mankind were Austin Barnes not laying down that bunt and Napoleon trying to invade Russia in the winter.
I mean, it's just, I don't get it. I mean, if the guys, look, we're going to have to get Will Smith off his feet every now and again. And Austin Barnes is going to have to play because guess what? They've chosen Austin Barnes. There's no other guy coming up right now. There's not going to be any other catcher coming up to replace Austin Barnes. There's not going to be a Hunter Fiducia coming up through the ranks here, right? It seems. So if you're going to play him, like, let's be smart about this. Let's use him. He is a good bunter, Tim. You're right. We've seen it. He can bunt. If that's the only thing he focuses on, imagine how good of a bunter he can be to the point where he could bunt with nobody on and get on base. So to me, that is just like, why are we not capitalizing on that?
Well, and you got, Miguel Rojas obviously can bunt. Look for, not everyone can do it because they don't practice anymore. We understand that. But there's certain guys we know that can. And just when the situation comes, let them bunt. Or I still remember some of those stupid extra inning games against the Padres a couple years ago when, they kept sending guys up to come and strike out. Just send Kersh up to bunt. good Lord. All you got to do is do something. Get the bat on the ball. It's a continuous history since, 2020 is exempt because they were awesome. But 2021 on forward, there seems to be so many of those things where it's like, man, just put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, I don't get it. If you're the home team and you just got out of the ghost inning top of the order, no run scored, why don't you just freaking bunt the runner over and hit a sac fly to walk it off?
And just end it.
Yeah, I know.
It's
almost like a big pride thing. It's like, well, it's not a real win unless you win a home run. Hey, last I checked, a win is a win in the standings. And I don't care how you win. Don't cheat. No trash cans. But everything else is on the table. Go.
Yeah, I think it was that first Padres game that went to extra innings.
Yeah.
Where the Dodgers did exactly what Kevin said. They got through the top of the inning without giving up a run. It was huge. I think Ryan Yarbrough came through.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we get a guy to third base with less than two outs and we can't bring him home.
Yeah.
It's like, it's either we can't bring the guy home or we can't move him over to bring him home. And but honestly, that has to do with approach too. I think that has to do with the style of play that this team plays. And because they're so big and powerful, they don't want to bunt and they don't want to play small ball. And they're just not built that way, unfortunately, as much as I'd like them to be.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys? We are so pleased to be joined by Tim Rogers of Dodgers 2080. Once again, make sure you're following him on social media, crushing it out there.
Well, last night I tried to go live and man, I had tech problems all over the place. I may try again tonight. We'll see. I might just go unlisted and just to see if my tech is okay, it's good to be back. I was out with a sore throat. I will be at Rancho sometime this weekend. If anyone's going to be out there, I'll put it on my thing when I'm going out. I'm leaning till for Friday. Carlos Duran will be pitching. And then Saturday is Edgardo Enriquez. Go out, watch those Rancho guys. Zaire Hope, Josue De Paula, Kendall George, the outfield of the future is playing.
Yeah, those guys are studs.
They are total studs, man. And so go out and watch them. Jake Geloff, Joe Vitrano, Jose Galiz, they're just loaded. It's a really fun team to watch.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I love being on the show. It's great.
All right. That's the Incline Dodgers podcast this week. Not to hype myself up, but it is my birthday in a couple days, so we'll see what happens if the Dodgers can get me a W. And
happy pre-birthday, Kev.
Thank you. Yeah. And if you're listening on the audio feed, of course, we really appreciate you. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button and leave us an audio review. And if you're watching after the live stream on YouTube. Thank you as well. Leave us a comment. Drop any of your Dodgers thoughts, to be honest, and I'll make sure to respond and make you feel the love. So my dog is pissed at me because he wants me to feed him. So we're logging off now. Go Dodgers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.